This week's hot seat, we are chatting with a minister that, you know what, you don't think about it all the time, but it's something that really plays an important role for all of us in a lot of day-to-day activities. And with me on the line right now is the Minister for Service Alberta, Mr. Nate Glubish. First off, Minister, thank you for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to chatting.
Great. So, you know what, I mean, Service Alberta, it's a not always the sexiest topic, but there's one thing about it, though, is that it is extremely important. And I know one thing that I really had looked about, and that in terms of rural connectivity and the leading development of a provincial broadband strategy now. And I'm sure, as you know, so many people in rural areas are looking for that connectivity. How important is that for this ministry?
Well, I mean, it's super important, Kenny. As technology around the world grows by leaps and bounds at such a fast pace, connectivity is how, you know, Albertans are able to participate in these new, whether it be new devices, whether it be new tools, new software, whether it be streaming, whether it be education platforms. All of that is tied through to connectivity. If you don't have the backbone to connect to the system, then you're going to be left behind. And so so that's why I'm excited to be leading the development of a broadband strategy for the province. That will be centered around working with all levels of government, as well as working with the telcos, you know, companies like TELUS and Shaw, Rogers and Bell, and all of the internet service providers that operate in our province, to make sure we're being as thoughtful and productive as possible in deploying resources to improving connectivity all around the province.
And Minister, one thing we do know is that for a company like, say, a TELUS or a Shaw or Rogers to lay fiber in a place like Edmonton, they're going to get a lot more bang for their dollar. And I know covering the same issue in rural Northern Ontario is very much similar, in that there was that big issue of how you get the private sector on board, because obviously they do get more bang for their buck in the urban center, so to say. But in the rural areas, is there a role that, as you mentioned, that all levels of government can play in maybe bringing in the big telco companies as a partner in connecting everybody?
Well, I think as a province, we certainly have a role to play, and the way I view my role is to be a connector between all of the different private sector players, whether that be the telcos themselves who are going to build the network and to deliver the service, or whether that be the technology companies that develop and build the hardware and software that power these networks that the telcos use to deploy, whether it be the municipalities that know their constituents better than anyone and know their priorities and needs on the ground, and then working with the federal government, who has the ultimate responsibility and regulatory oversight of the telecommunications industries. And we need all of them to be working together and pulling in the same direction. And as the provincial minister responsible for this file, I want to make sure that nothing's falling through the cracks between all of these different players, and that we're all singing from the same song sheet, have the same information, and we can all benefit from each other's expertise. And I think that by bringing that leadership, we can make sure we get farther down the path of improved connectivity than if we were all just doing our own thing in silos.
Excellent. Well, I know it's an important issue out here, so definitely thanks for that answer, Minister. And also, in moving around, we know that the government had taken over in 2019, and I always like to ask any minister how many different changes and things you need to make. In terms of Service Alberta, what are some of the big changes that you made upon becoming minister, and what are some of the changes that you're most excited about?
Well, that's a great question. We've been busy in Service Alberta since I was appointed minister in April of last year. We've passed five bills. The first of which is in an area that many folks probably wouldn't have thought about, but it was a reform to the Mobile Home Sites Tenancies Act. And this is the act that governs the relationship between mobile home residents, who often own their own home, but they rent the land. And so this governs the relationship between them and their landlord. One of the things that I learned quickly was that mobile homeowners were the only Albertans that did not have access to a dispute resolution service when dealing with their landlord. So if you lived in a condo or an apartment or a traditional home, and you had a landlord and you had an issue, then you had access to something called the Residential Tenancy Dispute Resolution Service. And that's where you could go present your case. It's way less costly and way faster than the courts. And that system would then help to adjudicate the issue and apply the law, and you can get results much more quickly. Mobile home residents didn't have that, and that's something they've been asking for many, many years. And so, when I toured across the province last summer and met with residents from mobile home communities all across this province, I heard that everywhere I went. And so I was very happy to bring forward that reform and give them access to that. Another area that I'm responsible for is the regulation of the real estate industry.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody knows a realtor or two.
I was one.
Well, there you go. So, and I think there's well over 11,000 residential realtors in the province of Alberta, and of course many commercial realtors. There's the corresponding mortgage industry and mortgage brokers that are all regulated by the real estate regulator, as well as property managers. So, so I learned very early on that apparently the real estate regulator had become extremely dysfunctional, and it had started about 3 or 4 years ago, had just continued to escalate. And the industry was very dissatisfied and had been calling on the Alberta government for years to make some changes. And so as a new minister, I heard this very loud and clear when I got started. I started doing some more homework on it, and it became just so clear to me that that we needed to make a drastic change right away. And so in October of last year, I fired the real estate regulator, the board, and appointed an administrator to keep things rolling, to make sure that the regulator could function and perform the operations it needs to ensure that Albertans could continue to rely on the real estate industry. But then that's when the work really began to work closely with the real estate industry, all of the different industry associations from all of the different groups I mentioned, the residential, the commercial, mortgage brokers, the property managers, etc. To say, okay, well, what was wrong with the governance system to begin with? What are the things that we can fix so that we never end up having a regulator become this dysfunctional in the future? And so that was a 6 month long exercise that culminated in a bill I passed this summer to implement those governance reforms. And I'm really excited about that. I think it's gonna significantly improve how the regulation of the real estate industry is handled, and is going to be a significant improvement for all of the professionals across the province that work in that space. So, looking forward to implementing the deployment of all of those changes in the next couple of months here. So that's a couple of things we've changed. Another one that certainly it wasn't in our platform. It wasn't something that I was even aware of when I became elected, but this was the changes to the vital statistics legislation that I passed to ensure that convicted sex offenders could never change their names.
Right.
And hide in our communities, hide from their past. I learned about this earlier this year when Saskatchewan started to make some changes, and I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. I wonder if that's an issue here. And so I started doing some homework, and I found out that, it was a complete shock to me that convicted sex offenders could, in fact, change their names and hide from their past. And I didn't think that was okay. I didn't think Albertans would be okay with that. We know that convicted sex offenders are a high risk to reoffend. And I, as a new dad, I wanted to make sure that our communities were safe so that families could feel safe in their home communities. And so we worked hard to get that done at lightning speed, and thankfully we were able to get some legislation passed so that Alberta now has some of the strongest protections in the country. And I'm also working to call upon all of the provinces and territories in the country to join us in implementing these strong protections so that all Canadians can enjoy the same peace of mind.
Absolutely, and I know another one I'm seeing here in the list of accomplishments, and this is actually a tool that has been very helpful to me personally, and that is My Alberta Digital ID. Mm-hmm. And I talk about that because I was able to go online and get my negative COVID results, and at the same time be able to go out there and apply for some schooling. So really, I guess merging everything under one My Alberta Digital ID, and I also see that as well that there were different levels of verification, including getting mailed a 5 or 6-digit code by providing your driver's license, for example. So obviously, some people, I guess, would be worried about, I guess, online security and things like that. But when I look at this, it just seems like a good one-stop shop for literally everything.
Yeah, that's a great point. So the My Alberta Digital ID, or we call it MADI for short, is a great tool that I'm responsible for that I think is going to become a platform for us to use in our broader modernization efforts in the Alberta government. From your personal experience, you saw there's multiple levels of authentication. And so, you know, when you first sign up, there are some things you can do with it. But once you've had that two-factor authentication completed, where you get the PIN mailed to you, having provided your driver's license, then you can get, you know, all of the services available. And it's quite a great tool that can allow you to check medical records and can apply for various government programs. We used MADI to help deliver some disaster relief over the last year and a half for various disasters. And we were able to that way provide that support electronically much more quickly than in the past when people used to have to wait in line at a disaster relief center. But I think that's a good segue into some more of what I'm responsible for, and that's ultimately the overall sort of technology arm of government, whether that be things as simple as the IT systems that government employees use and that power the services that Albertans receive from the government, trying to focus on how do we harness more innovation inside of government to be more effective. One of the things that I remember from before I even ever thought about running for office is that, government's always out of date. Government is slow to do things.
Yeah.
Government's slow to adopt new technologies. They're paper-based in everything, and it's quite archaic. That's sort of, I think, something most folks can relate to when they think about government, whether it be the provincial government, federal government, or any government. But I can tell you now as a new minister that it's way worse than any of us ever maybe even imagined. But I see that as an opportunity. At a time when Alberta is struggling, at a time when we're facing significant revenue decline as a government and growing cost pressures, what better way to get things back on track than to be more innovative in everything we do? And technology has to be the future of everything we do. We've seen some of the power of what technology has been able to do in the private sector and with charities and with folks who've been more ready to adopt them. And we've seen some glimmers of that in the government too. I want to take that to a whole new level. And so that's a big part of the work I'll be doing in the months to come is expanding our technology and innovation strategy. So ultimately with the goal of delivering better services to Albertans, improving the experience that every Albertan has when they interact with the government, whatever it might have been, and also doing so in a more cost-effective way. So a huge opportunity ahead of us to be more innovative.
Now, even 10 years ago, the lingo was coming out. There's an app for that. How much do you anticipate over the time in your ministry? Do you see eventually a trend where we move more away from, going home and checking on the laptop or going home and checking on your desktop? Do you eventually envision a day where you just pull out your iPhone, your Android, whatever application you use, and you click on apps? Do you see more of the government moving eventually more towards app-based technology in terms of how it delivers the services?
Well, I think what we have seen over the last 10 years since the introduction of the smartphone and tablets and how those technologies have evolved in that time, and how many Albertans have access to those kinds of devices, certainly the expectation is to be able to interact with everything online and everything in a mobile environment. In a day and age when you can bank online or on your mobile phone and have been able to do that for many, many years, I mean, that's a highly sensitive, secure, private function that has been able to be delivered to the consumer marketplace safely for many, many years. Why can't we as a government allow Albertans to interact with us more in a mobile environment? I think it's a great question. It's something I'm very passionate about exploring and looking to bring better more modern service offerings to Albertans. You know, I found out, again, as a new minister, I learned that Alberta was worst in the country for the delivery of online services.
Oh, wow.
That to me is unacceptable. You know, we've been an entrepreneurial province. The spirit of innovation has been alive and well in this province in the private sector for a long time. We've bragged about the Alberta advantage for decades. So why is it that as a government we are lagging the rest of the country and the rest of the world in online service delivery? That's not okay with me. And so I've made it clear that I want to take us from worst to first in the country. And so have been working with our private registry network to negotiate a framework to ensure that we can deliver more consistent online services in a way that's sustainable. You know, we're never going to be able to eliminate bricks and mortar services. There are some things that you can't do online, but there's a lot of things that we aren't doing online that we could and we should. And so I want to make sure that our registry network is sustainable for the future, especially in the rural and small communities across the province. You know, that registry is such a core center of the community. And so I want to make sure that as we move to more online services that we don't jeopardize the sustainability of those rural registries. And that's why it's important for me to develop these innovative approaches on registry services in collaboration with the registry network. And so that's been something I've been working hard on the last, the last year or so. And, you know, we've launched the online birth registry as one example so far. So as a new dad, you know, I had my first son almost a year ago.
And, congrats.
Well, thank you. And that, you know, being a dad is the best part of my day. But I, you know, I think back to those couple of days in the hospital when we were registering my son's birth, and we had to do it the paper-based way. And I thought, you know, wow, wouldn't it be great if I could have just done this on my mobile phone? And so now that is actually a tool that is available to Albertans. And it's that's the first of what I hope will be many new services that we'll be launching online to allow Albertans to have more choice and more convenience in how they interact with their government.
All right. Well, we here at the newsroom definitely looking forward to keeping an eye on that and seeing how those things develop. And definitely not going to lie, I'm a self-professed tech geek, we could call ourselves myself. But now, from what I understand, I always, whenever we have ministers on the hot seat, I always like to throw a couple of personal questions out there. And rumor has it you are a very good musician. Is that true?
Well, I mean, good is a subjective term, but I have been playing music for the last 30 years. Started as a youngster with piano lessons and, you know, took Royal Conservatory lessons. But I also studied how to play by ear, which has been probably the most fun part as, you know, someone who's no longer taking lessons and just does this for fun. You know, being able to listen to something and figure out how to play it is really gratifying. In high school, I taught myself to play the guitar, and that's become a whole new love affair. And so I guess one question you shouldn't ask me is how many guitars I have, because I don't think I could actually answer that question accurately. I'm not sure what the number is. But
wow.
Everyone's
got to
have a
awesome
hobby. Everyone's got to have something they love to do. Some people it's sports. Some people it's entertainment, movies, whatever it might be. For me, it's music. That's been my passion. You know, when I'm looking to de-stress after a long day of work, or when I was in college doing my degree, there's always music I came back to stay centered and to refocus and rejuvenate. There's nothing quite like it.
No doubt. And I guess I'll end on this question, though. Like, in terms of types of tunes, do you consider yourself a jazz guy, a rock guy, or just anything in particular?
I mean, I got eclectic taste. You know, I grew up on the likes of you know, U2's The Joshua Tree, which is probably
yes,
my favorite album of all time. So, you know, on that side, you could say, you know, guitar-driven rock would be something I'm really a fan of. I grew up listening to the great Canadian legend Bruce Cockburn, a great singer-songwriter, acoustic guitar player, phenomenal lyricist, phenomenal vocalist. So, you know, that's been a big influence on me. Grew up listening to Van Morrison, another great influence. You know, in the more modern, of course, I'm a big fan of, you know, bands like Coldplay. But I also love some of those the duos of a female and a male vocalist with a bit more of an acoustic style. Like The Civil Wars is probably another one of my favorites. So I'm all over the map, but if it's good quality musicianship, chances are I'm going to enjoy listening to it.
That's great. That's great. Awesome. Well, Minister Nate Glubish, Minister responsible for Silvers, Alberta, thank you for taking the time to be on the hot seat today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to chat.
That's great. This is Nate Glubish, the Minister of Service, Alberta, and this is another edition of the Trending 55 Newsroom's Hot Seat.